Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, April 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Millions of people are canceling spring and summer travel plans because of the coronavirus. That often means requesting refunds from the airlines, but actually getting your money back has proven to be a tall order, even during a health emergency.
The stimulus bill certainly ties into that. The government can look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, we're bailing out the airline industry. They should at least do the right thing for their customers.
That's Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney. Coming up, he'll tell us what the government is doing to pressure airlines into honoring passengers' requests for a refund.
Filing taxes? Navigate tax season with the Wall Street Journal's Your Money 2020 Tax Guide. Compiled by our trusted reporters and editors, this ebook covers what the recent tax changes mean for you, your company, and the country. WSJ members can download now at wsjplus.com/tax2020.
U.S. airlines have slashed capacity by as much as 70%, and the remaining flights still are often nearly empty. That's a lot of canceled tickets by people who are staying home instead of traveling. Now those customers are looking for refunds, but some airlines, as well as hotels and cruise lines, have been slow to return the cash. And Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney says that's got a lot of travelers frustrated. So Scott, what's the usual rule of thumb regarding refunds issued by airlines?
If a passenger chooses to cancel a trip, generally on a non-refundable ticket, what you get is a voucher. And airlines, because of the pandemic, they're waiving change fees on most trips. So you get the voucher for the full value of what you paid. If the airline cancels the trip, and we're seeing airlines make widespread changes to their schedules, really taking thousands and thousands of flights out. On all of those canceled flights, if the airline cancels the flight, you are supposed to be able to get a refund. American and Delta stuck with the rules. They were offering refunds on flights they canceled. United tried to put through something separate where you would get a voucher for a year, and then if you didn't use it on international trips, then they would give you a refund, basically trying to hang on to your cash for a year. A lot of international airlines are refusing to give refunds and only vouchers, and that's contrary to both U.S. and EU rules. So there's been a battle going on about that.
Yeah, but a lot of people probably feel that vouchers aren't all that useful, especially if they don't travel very often.
Yeah, no, that's right, especially in the circumstances that we're in. Some of the vouchers were only good for a couple months. The rules initially were, and the existing rules were, you get 1 year from the day you purchase the ticket. Well, if you purchased the ticket 6 months ago, you've only got 6 months left. Or 9 months ago, it's, you got 3 months left. Now, some airlines, the main U.S. airlines, have actually extended the validity period of the voucher. So you get not just this year, but also next year to use it up. That helps a lot. Presumably, people will be traveling sometime in the next year and a half or so. But, for a lot of people, older people who just may not want to go to Europe for a river cruise or whatever they intended to go for, people who would have, no reason to go because, we're going for a conference that got canceled or something like that. So there are certainly a lot of circumstances where people either aren't going to feel comfortable traveling for quite some time or really don't have a reason to travel for some time.
But the airlines have got to realize that we're not living in usual times.
Yeah, I think the airlines took that. They do realize that. It's completely different from anything they've ever seen. And, understandably, they were worried about running out of money. There's no money coming in. And the airline business, it's interesting. It's really a business built that operates on future travel payments. So you buy a ticket, and you may not be traveling for 3 months, but the airline's going to take that cash and actually use it to buy fuel or pay employees or whatever now. And the problem is, it's like the game of musical chairs. The music stopped. There's no new money coming in. But they still have all those bills. They got to pay for airplanes and people and the flights that they're flying, which have virtually no passengers on them. So they're in a huge cash bind. And they looked at it and said, well, we don't want to be paying out millions and millions of dollars back to consumers. On the other hand, consumers are in a bind too, and some of them have lost their jobs and they're scrambling to keep their businesses afloat or whatever it might be. And there's no reason for them to have thousands of dollars tied up at the airline. And in any other business, if you know the merchant can't deliver what you bought, then you get your money back. If you know you order a shirt and the shirt's out of stock and it's not going to be in, and so you get a refund. And that should be the same. That's the theory in the airline business. But getting that cash out of airlines has been very difficult for a lot of people.
Now, all this trouble has got the government involved, right?
After our story last week, the Department of Transportation stepped in and sent an enforcement reminder to airlines saying that the regulations did, in fact, require that they issue refunds for flights they cancel, even in a pandemic. This has been true in blizzards. This was true after 9/11. This is true in hurricanes, you know, all kinds of disasters outside of airline control. You still have to give a refund if you're not going to deliver the service. And so DOT issued that warning. They also said they weren't going to, they understood the crisis that we're in and they weren't going to start enforcing it right away, but they expected airlines to comply with the regulations. And it's interesting, United did change its policy after that, as did Lufthansa, and said for tickets sold in the U.S. that they would honor the U.S. regulations and comply with that. But we haven't heard from a lot of other airlines.
Are these rules tied specifically to the stimulus bill, or did they exist before the pandemic?
These are regulations that have been in place for a long time. And what DOT said, and they had said this to us before, was that they weren't planning on giving a pass to airlines for this, a waiver. And I think, you know, the stimulus bill certainly ties into that. The government can look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, we're bailing out the airline industry. They should at least do the right thing for their customers.
Even the online travel agencies seem to have their hands tied.
And they're in a bit of a real squeeze here, because when you book through a travel agency, online or otherwise, you have to go back to the travel agency to get your refund. So airlines are telling people who book through Expedia or Orbitz or Booking.com or wherever, the airline says, well, you got to go back to the agency to get your refund. Well, the airlines have also blocked the agencies from electronically issuing refunds. So the agency has to call the airline just like you or I have to call the airline. And guess what? It's a double slap to consumers because you can't get through on the phone lines to the agency. They're not set up for everybody to call all at once. And nobody can get through to the airlines in a lot of cases. They're not set up for this. So by forcing people to call, in both with the agencies or otherwise, they're really discouraging people from pursuing refunds.
But this frustration in getting refunds extends beyond airlines.
We've also seen cruise lines. You know, some have been very generous about this and some have been quite restrictive. A sailing in late May from Italy, nobody is going to feel good about that. But some cruise lines have put in refund policies that end in mid-May. And so, you know, the likelihood is that'll get extended. But some people have, you know, you can have more than $50,000 tied up in a cruise, the Mediterranean to the Galapagos, wherever on a small ship, luxury line like that. And for some people, vouchers towards cruises in the future, even if it's a year or two from now, because of age, because of travel concerns, because confidence in being on a cruise ship with a whole bunch of other people in tight quarters, that's going to take a long time to come back. And people don't want thousands of dollars tied up with those vendors. So the other area we've seen a lot of concern are Airbnb, VRBO, the home sharing guys. Airbnb has put through a pretty good policy. There were glitches in the beginning, but people seem to be getting straightened out with that. VRBO is a whole nother can of worms. They have a voluntary monetary policy with their owners. They've encouraged the owners of the properties to issue 50% cash refund, 50% voucher refund. But some property owners aren't even doing that. And so here again, people have thousands of dollars tied up in a ski lodge rental or, you name it, and they're not going. They want their money back. In many cases, they need their money back, and it is their money, and they're having a hard time getting a refund. It's a tough situation. I think the answer to that question of why are you changing terms is that companies need to take care of their customers in times like this. And customers will remember who was accommodating of their customers and helpful to their customers and who told them to take a hike. And I think that'll matter in the long run.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure. Good to be with you, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.